Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. When a veteran goes to federal prison, his or her payouts from the Veterans Benefits Administration are supposed to go down, but they don't always, and that has cost VBA tens of millions of dollars. The Veterans Affairs Inspector General took a look at why and how VBA could fix the problem. Joining me with more, Nick Dahl, Director of the Bedford Audit Operations Division of the VA's IG Office. Mr. Dahl, good to have you on.
Tom, nice to be here. Thanks for allowing us a chance to talk about our work.
So talk about what the legal requirements are here if a veteran does go to federal prison. What is supposed to happen?
Well, if a veteran is sent to prison, their benefits are supposed to be reduced after 60 days in prison. Now, if they're receiving compensation, that's for a felony conviction. If they're receiving pension benefits, it can be for either a felony conviction or a misdemeanor. What's supposed to happen is benefits should be reduced to the 10% level if they're making or earning more than that. And if they're at the 10% level, they should be cut in half.
And that's by law, not by VA policy.
That is by law.
And so what did you find when you looked at this?
Well, we found that VBA staff or Veterans Benefits Administration staff were not consistently taking action to adjust compensation and pension benefits for incarcerated veterans. Based on our results, we identified opportunities to VBA to improve their processing of these cases. Specifically, for the veterans in federal prison, VBA did not adjust the benefits as required about 53% of the time. And for those in state and local prison, they didn't reduce the benefits about 18% of the time.
Interesting that there's a dichotomy between the level of compliance for state and that for federal. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, the main driver of that is that for the federal incarceration cases, VBA had allowed their matching agreement with the Bureau of Prisons to lapse for almost 7 years, meaning they weren't getting data from the Department of Justice or the Bureau of Prisons on possible veterans who were incarcerated during that period of time. So the only reason that they would reduce a benefits for a veteran in federal prison would be if that veteran or someone in that veteran's family reported to VA that the veteran was incarcerated.
I just wanted to ask a detailed question. Someone getting pension benefits, what is that in terms of VBA paying out to a veteran?
Pension is an income-based program. So if you're a veteran and you are at or below a certain income threshold, you're eligible for pension.
And so the reduction of that, if you are incarcerated, is on the theory that the prison is providing room and board, so to speak?
I believe that would be the case.
So what was the reason, then, for the people that are calculating these things? You're saying in some cases they had no idea the person was going to federal prison, sounds like.
Right. On the federal, like I said, they had allowed their matching agreement to lapse, meaning they weren't getting that data. There were a number of reasons. Basically, there were some technological issues where the match agreement was still in place, but they didn't have a secure site, so to speak, to house those cases, so BOP wasn't willing to send the data. Then the matching agreement actually did lapse, and it just took a while to get it back into place and to have a suitable secure site to handle the data.
And most of these funds go to the veteran by electronic transfer?
Correct.
So they were going into private checking accounts or banking accounts, and there they sat. Is there any effort to try to recover the money?
Well, I can't speak for what VBA is doing, but we did make the recommendation that VBA should be creating overpayments in their system and taking steps to collect those overpayments.
We're speaking with Nick Dahl. He's director of the Bedford Audit Operations Division of the Veterans Affairs Office of Inspector General. And what about the workload of people and their ability to do this with the staffing that they had at VBA?
Well, what I can say is that we consistently heard during our audit when we were interacting with VBA employees that their workload priority was on reducing the backlog of disability claims. That was a goal from former Secretary Shinseki that they would reduce the backlog by the end of this year, I believe. So the priority in the, at the regional office level where these adjustments would take place was on the disability claims, not these kinds of adjustments.
So it's the same people that are doing all of these transactions for veterans?
A lot of cases, it would be the same people would be at least involved in a piece of this. Multiple hands can touch these claims.
And how many, do we know how many people that involves?
Well,
that is VA employees, not the veterans.
On a particular adjustment or in general?
How big is the staff of people that are adjudicating benefits payouts?
Well, that would vary from office to office. You know, it can be range from dozens to hundreds in each regional office.
But the number of cases involved here that were not getting the reductions because of incarceration?
They're not. It's not a huge number. In fact, for the 7 years where they weren't getting data on the federal side, it turned out that there was probably only 3,000 or 4,000 veterans over that period of time spread out across the country. Many more veterans end up in state or local prison as opposed to federal prison. But I wouldn't say the burden on any particular office would be huge.
And you earlier said that this connection between the Justice Department, which operates the Bureau of Prisons, and VA regarding who was going to prison was disconnected for about 7 or so years.
Yes.
Has it been reconnected?
Yes. They are now getting the data on a monthly basis again.
And what about the reverse side of this? If someone gets out of prison, it sounds like that fact may not have been able to reach VA either. And so my question is, first of all, when they get out of prison, do the benefits go back to the original level?
Yes, veterans are eligible to have their benefits restored.
And do we know whether some of them did not have that restoration by virtue of the lack of data going from Bureau of Prisons to VA?
We were not aware of any of those cases.
I imagine the veterans would bring that to your attention.
I would agree.
And so I guess my question there is, would that also get shunted into some kind of a backlog situation, or do we really know that at this point?
Again, we didn't come across any of those cases, it would just be speculation.
Now, your recommendation was to the acting Undersecretary for Benefits to increase the priority of VBA's incarceration adjustment workload. What does that mean, and have they done that?
Well, basically, we know they have a lot of work in the regional offices, but basically, as we had been told during our audit, in some offices they weren't working these kinds of adjustments at all. So we just felt that the VBA needed to get the word out across the country that they have to put some focus back on these claims, meaning whether that means dedicating one or two people within an office to keep an eye on these claims, you know, that's really up to VBA how they handle it. Now, as of June, when we had last checked in with the department, they had not provided instruction to the field or to the regional offices, so to speak, on how they were going to handle the backlog of all these incarceration adjustments that had built during the 7 years where they weren't getting data. They were working on a plan on how they were going to get that accomplished.
So you're going to keep after them to get that plan?
Yes. Once we issue a report with recommendations, we follow up every 90 days to get a status update on actions they have taken, and we assess those actions before we will formally close out a recommendation.
Nick Dahl is director of the Bedford Audit Operations Division of the Veterans Affairs Office of Inspector General. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having us. I'm glad that we had a chance to talk about this.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends. Still to come on Federal News Radio, the NIH Library of Medicine is using cloud computing to give it a better leverage against foodborne illness. We'll hear how from CIO Ivor D'Souza. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.